This is Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, American sports and black athletes, part one. Titles, Art, Colorblind. Tonight's guest, Muhammad Ali, alias Cassius Clay, alias the heavyweight champion of the world. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Collect Night Call's national phone number, area code 212-749-3311, or in the New York area, 866-5010. Night Call's host in New York City is Del Shields.
Good evening. We welcome WSTC AM and FM in Stamford, Connecticut, to the Night Call Network. Nearly 3 months ago, a U.S. Court of Appeals confirmed the conviction of Cassius Clay for willfully refusing to report for and submit to induction into the armed forces of the United States. The conviction and sentence of 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine is now on appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. At the time of the first trial in January this year, the Washington Post commented editorially, and we quote, "There are aspects of the draft case of Muhammad Ali which makes us uncomfortable. Muhammad Ali is not only a Negro, but a Negro who has made a practice, one might indeed fairly say a career, of being extremely impolite to white persons. When he has not been busy knocking them down inside a fight ring, he has insisted on assaulting them verbally. Consequently, he has earned a great deal of unpopularity, which might have been very good for him financially in his career as a heavyweight boxer, but which might have been very bad for him in his appearance before a selective service board in a state, Texas, where only 0.2% of the 641 selective service board members are Negroes. The board's file on Muhammad Ali, moreover, contained what the American Civil Liberties Union, pleading in his behalf, characterized as reams of letters and newspaper clippings of a prejudicial nature. There were, in addition, any number of sports columns suggesting that any draft board that refrained from sending Muhammad Ali to Vietnam forthwith ought to be put in stanter in front of a firing squad. In short, it is hard to feel certain that Muhammad Ali's draft board was quite as detached as it might have been. One other troublesome fact is that the Department of Justice's special hearing examiner who handled the Muhammad Ali case and presumably had the best chance to weigh his sincerity recommended that he be classified as a conscientious objector. The department overruled the examiner and advised the draft board to the contrary. Muhammad Ali has already had his heavyweight title taken away from him by another predominantly white board. Although on one seemed to show the least likelihood of taking it away from him in the ring. Can one altogether help wondering whether this swashbuckling, loudmouth, pugnacious heavyweight champion of the world, member of a tiny and despised religious sect, didn't get a short count in his bout with the authorities of this great land? That was an editorial comment from the Washington Post at the time of the conviction for draft evasion and the decision to strip Muhammad Ali of his world heavyweight title. Muhammad Ali is the first of 5 guests this week in a special Night Call series on American sports and black athletes. Muhammad Ali is standing by in Coatesville, Pennsylvania to answer your questions and share your comments and conversation about titles aren't colorblind. You may speak to him direct over our national phone number, which is area code 212-749-3311. And, of course, you may call us collect. That's national calls on area code 212-749-3311. In the New York area, you may call us at 866-5010. That's local calls only on 866-5010. Muhammad Ali, good evening.
Yes, sir. How are you, brother?
I'm fine, thank you, and thank you for being with us.
Yes, sir. Nice. Glad to have me on your show.
Well, before we go to any questions, it should be mentioned that Muhammad Ali has based his claim to being a conscientious objector on the fact that he is a minister of the Islamic religion. Now, Muhammad Ali, are titles colorblind? Do you feel that you got a short count?
Well, we are not surprised at nothing. White people do when it comes to black people as far as justice is concerned. I feel that Brother Martin Luther King got a short count. I feel that Brother Adam Clayton Powell got a short count. And not only me, we are just a few famous cases. I feel that the black brothers and sisters in Washington, D.C. that went protesting to the government for freedom, justice, and equality telling them that they needed shoes and clothes and food. And I feel that they got a short down, a short count when they were kicked out of the mud and the shanty homes was pulled down and the leader, Brother Abernathy, sold in jail. So it's nothing unusual for black people to get short counts from white people. I feel that we got a short count when we were first brought here some 516 years ago by a slave trader named John Hawkins, lynched and burned and assassinated and ravished and raped for 400 years. So I'm not surprised of getting a short count. And I would say that the world and the public can see that what Elijah Muhammad preaches right when he says that the white man is the devil, because he is the devil. And I really know it, because I have gone as high as you could go, and with them, I'm still just another nigger. So I know what I'm doing is right. George Hamilton was a white boy. He had to support his mama. He's courting Johnson's daughter. He got out of the army. He and his mama's rich. And Joe Namath, a white boy. I repeat, Joe Namath, a white boy, a football player. He had a bad knee. But every time I look up on television, he's throwing touchdowns. He's playing football. White boys are leaving the country every day. The real citizens, burning draft cards, calling Johnson everything, burning the American flag. They are the real citizens, the future males and the presidents. But yet, I seem to be the worst one in the whole thing. And they all seem to be picketing me to put fear into other black people who want to take a stand. I don't only call it a short count. I call it injustice, and it proves to the world that we are justified in believing that the white man is the devil.
In the fact that you went in before the draft board and you told them that you were, or you had your credentials, I should say, as a minister of the Islamic religion, do you feel that the rejection of this was due to the religion or the rejection was due to you?
The prosecuting attorney from Washington came to Louisville, Kentucky, and he told the judge, he said, "Judge, if we let this man out on religious grounds, other black people may try, or many will try to join the Muslim faith to dodge the draft." He said, "Judge, we must make this man an example." So I am being used as an example for other big black men, such as our entertainers and jazz musicians and TV movie stars who read Muhammad Speaks newspapers. They come to the Muslim mosque, and the white man is trying to scare them and say, "See what happened to Muhammad Ali? Look at the millions he gave up. He's going to jail. Don't you be a Muslim." The religion is not bad. The religion, Islam, means peace, entire submission to God. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is a righteous man. Muslims are not dying to marry white women. They can't be mad at the religion. We don't want to live in the neighborhood with white folks. We don't want to eat with white folks. We just want to clean up and do something for ourselves. And the white man don't want us to clean up and separate. He want to keep us dependent people looking to him for support. So they fear the religion of Islam. They fear the growth of the religion of Islam. And they fear me and my popularity. And they want to condemn me and punish me and crucify and persecute me to put fear into those who are considering coming in. So answering your question, they're not really angry at me as an individual, and they want to see me fight worse than I want to fight. That's the white folk sport boxing. America loves the best, and I am the best. But they fear Elijah Muhammad. They fear the Muslims, and they fear the conversion power that I have. So this is why they want to railroad and shanghai me to put fear in the those who are thinking about coming. So I hope that answers your question on that.
How do you account for the what seems to be a change on the part of many sports writers over the past few months who at one time were against you and now they seem to be favoring you and favoring your stand?
Well, I don't too much know about them favoring me. I don't read the sport pages too much now. I'm so wrapped up in my preaching and my ministry until I really don't know nothing about a change. Many people have changed since I've taken my stand, and they are all now thinking like that. But if the sports writers were still writing devilish like many of them were, not all of them, but 9 out of 10 of them were, if the whole public was following is the one in Vietnam, I would still be taking my stand. I'm not just protesting the war in Vietnam. We who declare ourselves to be righteous Muslims do not take no parts in wars, no way, no fashion or form that take the lives of other humans. They are on my side, not because of my religion, not because of my stand, maybe because of my stand on that particular subject, Vietnam. But when it comes to the sports writers taking a stand on my struggle for freedom for black folks, I'm sure that they're not with me on that stand. They're just on the stand of me being against Vietnam because that helps them in their program, because they're against that part of the war.
Well, Muhammad, as a minister, is it difficult for you to maintain a fight or to conduct a fight if you are a minister?
No, sir, not when I'm in the debt that I'm in. The only reason I would fight is because of debt, and I have lawyer fees, I have alimony fees, I have all kind of bills. America will not let me fight right now inside America. America has took my passport where I cannot go to Asia, Africa, and Europe, South America, where they will pay me millions to do exhibitions. They are so envious of me making money and helping the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to build educational centers for black people, to help black people to do something for self. They're so envious, Washington is, until they won't even let me leave the country. They're so evil until they will not let me box exhibitions for the poor people in the ghettos. They will not let me box an exhibition to feed the starving black folks in Mississippi. They are awful evil when it comes to the Muslims and anything we want to do.
Have you offered to fight for a charity?
Yes, we've been trying, but they just will not let us. They are just being themselves, the real devils.
You're in Coatesville. What is your reason for being in Coatesville?
I'm preaching here tonight. We just finished preaching here. We talked about 700-800 people here, and we probably converted all of them to the Muslim faith. And it's the truth, and they all like it. And from here, I'm going on to Pittsburgh and on to Cleveland and Philadelphia and all around to Boston and San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles, all throughout the country. Wherever the Muslims at, wherever the Muhammad Mosque at, that's what I'm doing. Just traveling and preaching. And I enjoy this much better than beating up somebody in a boxing ring. I'm helping people now, giving them black dignity, giving them black pride. I'm glad to be a big black man that didn't be a white man's Uncle Tom nigger and sell out my people just because I can get rich and get some money. I love what I'm doing. This is better than fighting. And as a matter of fact, I done whipped them all in the ring anyway. There ain't nobody for me to whip no way. Now I'm out here fighting for freedom, fighting for my people, which is a bigger fight than getting in a boxing ring.
Well, Muhammad, just before we begin taking phone calls, I'd like to ask just one last question during this segment. It seems that a young fellow by the name of Joe Frazier is being prepared, and I understand that he is recognized as heavyweight champion in a couple of states, and there seems to be some talk that he might like to meet you.
Well, he's been saying, Joe Frazier, he's been saying he wants to fight me, and I admire him. I admire him more than my sparring partner, James Ellis, who I have helped work with, train, put him on the fights that I fought and got him to where he is, and he hasn't yet said nothing about that, or he wants to fight me. But Joe Frazier has admitted that he will not feel as the champion until he beats me, and he wants to fight me, and he will not fight again this year until he fight me. And I admire him for that, because everywhere he go, he's plagued. People are not satisfied until I'm whipped. Few white people in power might not like me, but the masses of the whites admire, respect my boxing ability, and 1,001% of the blacks wants to see me, and they are not satisfied because a few dried up white men with cigars in the mouth decide to take my title 2 minutes after I stood up for my religious beliefs. And they have destroyed the whole game, and Joe Frazier is keeping it alive by saying he won't be satisfied till he fight me, and I've been off a year and a half, and Joe Frazier is a serious threat to my crown, and Joe Frazier is the only one that I see right now that has a chance to beat me. I'm not saying that he'll beat me, but he's got a good chance, because he hits pretty hard.
Mohammed, we will take a break for station identification, then we'll be coming right back. We've got calls standing by in Portland, Oregon, Utica, New York, as well as New York City. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Mohammed Ali after station identification.
In our city and state, and all across the United States, people are talking about trouble. Black and white trouble. Some call it racial tension, or see poverty as the real problem, or say law and order has given way to anarchy in our streets. Most people agree, at least, that there is a crisis, and we are a people with many unanswered questions. This station believes you deserve to ask your own questions and get some answers, or at least opinions, from people who should know what they're talking about. So we bring you Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show where you ask your questions and express your opinions to leaders such as John Lindsay, Ralph Abernathy, John Gardner, Stokely Carmichael, and Sergeant Shriver. Night Call, the new nationwide radio forum on important issues facing you and the rest of the nation. Night Call, each weeknight.
Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Muhammad Ali about American sports and black athletes. Again, Del Shields.
And we'll begin taking calls from our Night Call listeners. Remember our telephone number, area code 212-749-3311. Our guest tonight, Muhammad Ali, the heavyweight champion of the world, calling in from Coatesville, Pennsylvania. Our first caller, Mr. Randall, is hearing Night Call over WRUN in Utica, New York. Your question, Mr. Randall.
Well, my question is to Mr. Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
Now, Mr. Ali, I think that you've been getting a bum rap from those redneck white honkies there down south. Now, I feel that they should give you just as much right to go along with your preaching as they do the Jehovah's Witnesses and other groups like that. I mean, that's your faith. That's what you want to be. That's what you should be.
Thank you.
Because I know just what happens with them boys. They want to railroad some poor black fella just because he's trying to do what his heart tells them.
That's right.
Now, I'd like to know, now, does a Muslim religion teach the black man to hate all white folk?
We don't hate white people. There's a difference in hating something and knowing it. The room that I'm sitting in now, if a wild tiger or if a wild lion broke in here, I would be the first one getting out of this room. I don't hate tigers and I don't hate lions. I don't have time to hate them. But I know the nature of the lion. I know the nature of the tiger. I know that it's impossible for me to successfully integrate and intermarry or sleep or eat with that wild tiger and lion. So I just don't want to be around it no more. And I've never could get along with it in the past. So now I want to separate from it. And the government tries to make the people believe that to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that we have to hate white people. We don't hate white people. We know white people. I'm sure there are many, many white people that really don't hate black people. They have black people cooking the food for them. They have black people raising their children. But that same white man who ate the black man's dinner cooking, that same black man who raised, or that same black woman who nursed the white woman's child, still that evening in their places of social equality, she won't eat or socialize with the same woman because their natures are different. We eat different from white folks. We dance different from white folks. We talk different slangs from white folks. We socialize. We are dressed different from white folks. We like different kind of music. It's not hate. It's just culture. And now that we know our culture, now that we know your culture, we're not dying to intermarry no more. We're not dying to integrate no more. We're not dying to eat with you no more, to ride with you on your best transportation. So therefore, they call this hate teaching. But this is not hate teaching. This is the truth. And black people are not haters. They are victims of hate. We're the ones who have been lynched. We're the ones who have been assassinated. We're the ones who have been beaten, shot, dealing with police clubs all over the country. Pregnant women kicked in the stomach. Water hoses washing us down the streets. Dogs mistreating us. We are the ones who have the right to hate if there is any hating to be done. But our people are not haters. They're better Christians than white people who made them Christians. So people, I would say we don't just hate white people. We don't hate the color white. We have black people that look white. We hate the injustices. We hate the lynching. We hate the raping. We hate the murdering. We hate the depriving us of freedom. We hate the depriving us of justice. We hate the depriving us of equality. We hate the way they prostitute and beat up and mistreat the poor black woman. Yes, we hate the evil deeds of the white people.
Well, I see what you mean, but the part that got me the most was when that Howard Cosell, you know, was giving you that rough time on television last year on ABC World of Sports.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see why he should do that, knock you out in public like that. You was nice to him. You treated him with respect. I mean, you talked to him in a nice way, and he was calling you by your other name that you don't want to be called by. I mean, if you want to call yourself Muhammad Ali, that's the way it should be.
Right, and all white people should be like you, and if all of them were like you, if you were sincere in what you were saying, and if all white people were like you, we wouldn't have so much trouble today. And I thank you for those nice comments.
Thank you, Mr. Ali.
Thank you for calling, sir. Thank you.
I look forward to your next fight.
Thank you.
Our next caller will be coming in from Portland, Oregon. Mr. Rennie is hearing Night Call over KLIQ-FM. Your question, Mr. Rennie.
Yes, sir. I would like to address my question to Muhammad Ali.
Yes, I hear you.
Yes, I agree with you and that man who just spoke about how you should be called by the name that you'd like to be called by. And
thank you, sir.
I do feel that. What about all the people, just like you just said a minute ago, if all white people were like this gentleman, what about all the ones that are like that?
I would say this, my friend. If you could round up me 1 million liberal white people that would die for black people, 1 million liberal white people that would give up their whole nationality, leave their people, and fight for black people, if you found 1 million, this wouldn't be enough. I would say that if you found 20 million, which is impossible, but if you found 20 million, I'm going to show you how impossible it is. If you found me 20 million good white people that were willing to die for black people, give up their lives, you would have 180 more million who would overpower and outvote or bump you off. So we have to look at the thing as a whole. My people are catching hell as a whole from whites as a whole. And if there's one or two white voices in the wilderness crying and wanting right, I'm just sorry I can't hear it because there's too many millions over your voice calling murder, murder, kill, kill. So therefore, I'm just thankful for the few that want to do right. But we, I would say our problem is black people is like white people when they're in Vietnam. They just don't drop the bomb and say one of those Viet Cong might be all right. One of those Viet Cong ladies don't know what the war is about. One of those little children are down there just eating a bowl of rice. They just dropped the bomb. Now, America went to Hiroshima. She didn't say some of those little Japanese down there don't know what the war is about. Some of them are blind, standing on the corner, begging for money. They just dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. When the white people bought the black people over to America, they didn't say these are religious, sweet people, nice, humble people, and all of them ain't bad. They just brought us here. So what I'm trying to say, when the white men today come into our neighborhoods, innocent black people are beaten shot. They don't ask us what our religion is. Are we Muslims? Are we Catholics? Are we Baptists? They just start whooping black heads. So if you can find me one or two white liberals who want to do right, I say, well, I admire you for standing up for the truth, but right now I don't have time to say nothing to you because I might get killed because I see 180 million of yours who are evil and I see 22 million of mine who have been persecuted. So all I can do is shake your hand and say goodbye and continue fighting you as a whole.
About, yes, but your faith in the God that you believe in, how does he consider these people who do have this attitude about the black people?
Well, I really don't know, my friend. I don't know what Almighty God, Allah, thinks on that subject. I'm not him. I would say just keep doing as much as you can of good, and when that judgment day come, if you're worth saving, I'm sure you will be saved.
You're saying then that white people can be saved too?
Well, I imagine you could. It's not the color. We have white people who are in the religion of Islam in places like Egypt and Syria and Sudan, but they're not of American origin, European, who have actually been converted to the religion. If they can believe in Allah, believe in the Holy Quran, live righteous, and follow a strict Muslim life, anybody can be a Muslim. It's his deeds, it's his works, not his complexion. So what's in your heart, I really don't know.
Thank you for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York. Our guest tonight, Muhammad Ali, calling in from Coatesville, Pennsylvania. Mr. King is hearing Night Call over KPRS FM in Kansas City, Missouri. Your question, Mr. King.
Well, I had two questions, actually. One was that, is there a place in the world, in Muhammad Ali's world, for white people? And second, is it ever possible for white people to come into the Muslim religion? Because, honestly, there are white people that feel the way the same that Muhammad Ali does, but get rejected by the black people.
Well, I would say the reason that you get rejected is because of the fact that I was just talking. See, for everyone that talked, I'm sure three whites have called already, and all seem to be those who want to do the right thing. But I'm sure that you have many of yours listening to this show at this moment that I'm talking who would assassinate you if they could get your address. So there have been so many who are evil in this way. Blacks see you talking about you wanting to do right, and it makes them angry because all they see is about 50 million behind you not wanting to do right. So in their anger, they just take it out on you. So I would advise you to just stay out of the way until it look like the masses of the whites are wanting to do right, because they would kill you if you tried to really help black people. From Lincoln on up to the Kennedys, on up to Martin Luther. Anybody trying to help black people, they bump them off. And they bumped off Miss Viola Lusall, who was down there marching with black people, and a few more white priests, and they'll bump you off. Your kind, not us. Your kind will bump you off. So I would just say blend in with the masses of your kind, not doing the evil that they do, but just try to not let them know how you feel, because they will bump you off. And black people right now are killing each other. Black people are shooting each other. Black people are cutting and fighting each other. They have no law for self. So therefore, we are right now busy trying to integrate with our own kind. Right now, we're so wrapped up in loving our own kind. And then after all black folks have loved each other, if there's any more love left, then we'll check on loving the white folks. But right now, we got to love each other first.
Yeah, but Muhammad, there are a lot of us that also love you and love black folks. And we're not going to get put down that easily, you know? And we want to do something, too. Should we just...
Well, the best thing I can say do right now, in the highest tension of racial crisis, is to just donate, just mail some money to the Elijah Muhammad's Educational Center in Chicago. It's 5335 Greenwood. 5335 Greenwood. Mail a donation to help him with his educational center, and I'm sure that'll be the best thing you could do as of right now.
All right, thank you, and peace be upon you.
And peace be unto you.
Thank you for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number, and of course you're free to call us collect. And our local telephone number is 866-5010. That's 866-5010. Muhammad, just before we go into our station break, will be just about a minute, I'm going to ask you just a short question. What is your feeling about the change of the black athletes in this country, where they seem to be taking more of a militant stand? How do you feel about it?
Well, number one, when White America took my title, that helped kick off the atmosphere of all of the rest of the athletes. And that's one of the Olympic boys, that's one of their grievances. They wanted is me to have my title back. That was also in their petition of the injustices that they didn't like. And I would say that the black athlete today has gone. One of them made a statement. He said that if the white man can bump off Muhammad Ali as easy as they did for standing up for his religion, which we know is not bad, standing up for his people, which we like, if they can bump him off unjustly like that, then we are nothing with a little Olympic gold medal, because he's a heavyweight champion of the professional world. We're just amateurs. So this lets them know that they were nothing either. So they wanted to protest, and they are protesting, to see if America would answer to their needs or leave them here. And if America don't answer to their needs and suffer in the Olympics, letting the communist countries use this as against the country, if America would rather let them stay home, this really shows them how bitter and how hateful white people are towards black people. This will also show them that their talent meant nothing as long as the white men could use them as good boys, and as soon as they stood up, the white men left them home and all of their potential gold medal earners. This is just revealing the white man, and this is why America is so shook up today, because her top-notch people today, who used to go all over the world saying, oh, America is beautiful, oh, I'm making a good in America, this now these people are protesting, and this is what shake up America. Why should white America be shook up today over black people fighting for their freedom? America spending $80 million a day in Vietnam to uphold her government and to fight for what she thinks is right. America believes in fighting and dying for what she thinks is right. Now, if black people are not free, if they want justice and equality, why are white people so upset over some black people sacrificing a gold medal when they sacrifice their wives, their loved ones, their health for what they believe, but they're shook up today because black people for the first time are willing to say, to hell with your money, white man, to hell with your heavyweight championship belt, white man, to hell with your gold medal, white man, and this is shaking the white man up because he knows that once we start giving up and sacrificing, we'll be free, and not just saying, let the niggas make it like me, and going on and moving on the hill with your white woman and your $1 million, while the poor black folks are getting beat up and shot, living in raggedy homes, eating the worst food, paying the highest light bill, the highest gas bill. They send the hell with it. I'm black just like them, and we all going down. Keep the gold medal, and this is good, and I think it's good, and all of them should protest, and we'll be free, because if the little black men cry, nobody hears it. They kill them every day. The news don't leave the country. But if we big black men stand up, we'll be free overnight. So I hope they don't go until they get what they want, and I hope all of them stand up and quit Uncle Tommy. Thank you.
Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Muhammad Ali after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, American Sports and Black Athletes, Part 2. Look Magazine sports writer Dick Schaap and what he calls the revolt of the black athletes. This week-long series continues Wednesday night with player coach Bill Russell of the Boston Celtics on the black boss and the white player. Thursday's guest is Frank Robinson of the Baltimore Orioles. The American League's most valuable player in 1966 says that title and the other two legs of the Triple Crown he won that year weren't all that valuable to him, that there's still a lot of financial segregation at the top of the big leagues. Friday, Harry Edwards of San Jose State talks about why he's organizing a black boycott of the 1968 Olympics. Continue this week-long series tomorrow night on American Sports and Black Athletes with Look Magazine sports writer Dick Schaap on Night Call. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Muhammad Ali about American sports and black athletes. Again, Del Shields.
And as we enter our second half hour of Night Call tonight, our guest Muhammad Ali calling in from Coatesville, Pennsylvania, and we have calls standing by now in Indianapolis, Indiana. We'll take our first question. Your question, sir.
First of all, I would like to say, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ali.
Wa alaikum salam.
Beautiful, very beautiful.
Yes, sir.
This is indeed a great privilege and an honor. I mean, it really is for me personally, and to express my feelings for the brothers here in Indianapolis. I know that they are deeply esteemed that you would talk to one of their, I guess you would say, brotherhood. First of all, you were discussing black athletes, and I was wondering what your opinion is of the WBA for their actions towards the...
The WBA, they are angry because... I beat up that Ernie Terrell. You know, they took my title before and I had to take it back.
Oh, that Uncle Tom, yeah.
Ernie Terrell. And They called him the champ, and I came back and I gave him a good spanking. And then they just wanted, then I took it back then, they were mad, and now then that army thing was an excuse for them to take it again.
True, true.
So this is just a board full of white men, and we're not surprised or nothing that white people do.
Really, we want, this is a thing that I really wanted to bring out. I'm glad you brought it up. This is a board full of white men. Now, our brothers and sisters, respectively, I mean, any non-white is a brother or a sister of mine. This is the way I feel. I mean, well, even Brother X says that we have white brothers. Well, I won't, you know, disagree with him. But, well, don't you think that not only should we boycott the Olympics, we should boycott all aspects of discrimination? I mean, like you take, for instance, the WBA board and all these types of organizations.
Yes,
where
all of that, brother, would be beautiful if the black people were unified enough to do it. But boycotting is not really our program. I was just making suggestions on their boycotting and what I thought about it. But we who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we don't vote to solve our problems. We don't boycott nothing to solve our problems. And yet I'm not prepared to talk against those who are. If this is the way they see in their struggle for freedom, if they're sincere in what they're doing as far as freeing our people, I'm for them, but we have different approaches. We as Muslims are not protesters or not boycotters or not marchers. We want to separate. We want to get away from America. We want some land where we can build a government and a future for ourselves. So we are not really just here for nothing temporary. We want some land, you understand? So this is what our program is.
Well, I think the ideology here is beautiful. It's most definitely beautiful. I feel also, though, you take my ancestors, those who came over on the slave ships, although all of my ancestors and my forefathers did not come in chains, I think that we have just as much right to America as do these Blancos, Caucasians, or whatever you
want. That's right. And then I think you're right, after building it for 310 years, $16 a day without a payday, we do. And then if they don't want to, then repay us and let us go and build our own land. Brother, we have so many questions coming on, and I'm nice talking to you, and we want to give
all
the people
brother,
time.
Before I change, before we go any further, I would like to just tell you that this is Malik Haj Amawali, Nahashan Ngari, calling in for the tribe members of Black.
Okay, give them all my greetings, brother.
Peace, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, sir. Mr. Sicasio is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. He's calling in from Malvern in Long Island. Your question, sir.
How are you, Mr. Shear?
How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. Muhammad Ali.
Yes, sir.
I would like to ask you one question first. If you had consented to be drafted, what would have been your duties in the Army or Navy or wherever?
I really don't know. I didn't think that far. When I went there that day, I knew what I was going to do. I didn't even consider what I'm going to do, because I wasn't nothing I'm going to do with it.
Well, I think, you know, from my experience, I've seen that fine athletes, as yourself, were putting entertainment, you know, special services, and didn't have to carry a gun anyhow. You know what I mean?
Well, the president's son-in-law, he's carrying a gun, and they said something on the news the other day, but he's just an average man, and nobody's giving him no special protection, and that's the president's son-in-law. This would be about the time when I wouldn't be nothing special. I'll have to go too.
Well,
if they didn't shoot me accidentally in training.
I don't want you to think that I'm against you. I'm against this type of a draft too, where the some athletes are exempted and others are forced, like yourself. You know what I mean? I like to see everybody go rightfully, such as Namath, as you mentioned earlier in the program. Why should he be exempted and not you? You know what I mean? Why should
he just would have come down to plain, simple talk, black people don't have nothing to fight for no way.
Well, no, I don't think you're right there.
The Viet Cong, I don't know nothing about none of them people over there. They never called me nigger, they never lynched me, they never raped me, never put dogs on me. Our enemy, when we want freedom, we have to oppose the white man. When we want justice, I oppose the white man. When we want equality, I oppose the white man. The only enemy that black people can justify and say that they know is the white people of America, because we haven't lived in no other country with no other people. We've only lived with here with white people. So our enemy is the white man. The people that are shooting us down with tanks in the streets of America and bazookas and machine guns, and the same equipment is used on us they use at war. So those people we know that we've been in war with and killing us is white people, and you can't say I'm wrong.
Why do you call yourself a nigger? Why?
I
don't think that's nice at all.
When I use the term nigger, I say regardless of how big we get to white people, we are just another nigger. That's what you say. You call us niggers, your people.
I'm sorry, I do not. And I don't like that term at all. I don't
like it either, but your people do.
I don't like to hear you use it either, because I don't think it's a very nice
term. I'm saying what your people call us. Tell your people you don't like it. Your people are the ones who call us niggers.
I certainly do tell them when I hear
Well, just keep telling them, and I'm for you all the way. Just keep telling them.
Another question. In my time, I'm pretty old. I'm not a young man. I love Joe Louis. I think he was one of the greatest. I think he could have taken you, too, if you know what I mean.
Thank you. Huh? Well, I'm not here to talk bad about Joe Louis as far as boxing is concerned, because Joe Louis was a good man of his day,
right.
And he was the greatest of his day.
He was the greatest. I think he was the greatest. But he was... why is there such a change in the athletes? Like, Joe Louis was a fine... very refined man.
Joe Louis is a good refined man to white folks. Jackie Robinson is a good refined man to white folks. Willie Mays is a good refined man. Jesse Owens is a good refined man. But we are bad because we are tired. And we are tired of showing our teeth and letting white people make all the money and white people taking credit for our honors and our medals in America and come back home and get our head busted. Come back home with gold medals and heavyweight championship belts and top politician honors, top peace ward honors, Nobel peace honors, and we still ain't nothing, and we still are catching hell, and we just tired today. And that's why we are not liked by your kind, because we're just tired of getting all these awards, and it don't mean you can't cash it in for nothing. You can't get nothing for it. And the old Negro, he felt that things would get better. They told Joe Louis when 1968 came, things would be better. They told Jesse Owens, things would be better. When Jackie Robinson slammed baseball, they told him things would be better. Now we look up and things are worse. So we just don't want no more promises no more. Telling me about the next 100 years of things that get better. Just wait. So we are protesting. So this is why. And today, black people don't like nobody that white people love. Anybody that white people love, black people call them Uncle Tom. Today, rebels are respected. Regardless to how much you may not or I may not agree with Rob Brown or Stokely Carmichael, I travel every day to black colleges, all of the girls, all of the children, they have Stokely Carmichael and Rob Brown's picture up in their dormitories. They might not believe like Rob Brown, they might not be as violent, they might not go to jail with him, but they love the boldness. They love to see him stand up and tell you white folks like it is. They're tired of the Joe Louis's and the Jesse Oranges and the Willie Mays's and the Jackie Robinsons, who are so great. They see all of these injustice-style people, and they're too scared to open their mouth because white people give them money. So we don't want to be like Joe Louis today. Joe Louis is a good boy for white folks. Joe Louis is not a good boy for black, good for black folks. Joe Louis is good for white folks.
Well, that's not my point.
Well, Mr. Sicacio.
Black people who are listening to this show, it's not your point. You may not agree. But the black people at home right now jumping and shouting because they know it's the truth.
No, sir, my point is...
Mr. Sicacio, thank you for calling, sir. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. We'll return with more calls from our Night Call listeners to our guest tonight, Muhammad Ali, right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Muhammad Ali after station identification. Next week on Night Call, two Catholic priests, two black artists, a corporation president, and a presidential candidate. This new nationwide call-in show on vital issues continues to bring you the experts with the answers to your direct questions. Monday, Father Bernard Herring. an advisor in moral theology to the late Pope John on how Catholics and the rest of us should interpret the encyclical on birth control. Tuesday, Robert Hooks and Douglas Turner Ward of the Negro Ensemble Theater. Wednesday, Democratic Senator, presidential candidate Eugene McCarthy of Minnesota. Thursday, Westinghouse Broadcasting President Don McGannon on equal opportunity employment. And Friday, Father Santon Kilbride, a Biafran missionary, tells it like it is in the African country where the children are literally being starved to death. All this next week on Night Call. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. To Muhammad Ali about American sports and black athletes. Again, Del Shields.
Muhammad Ali, our next call is from Cleveland, Ohio. Mr. McKenzie is hearing Night Call over WERE. Your question, Mr. McKenzie.
First, I would like to say, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
And this is Brother Michael McKenzie from Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. Brother who?
Brother Michael McKenzie, originally from Louisville, Kentucky, one of your school
Brother
kids.
Michael from Cleveland calling. Yes, sir.
Well, I was originally from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm one of your
All the brothers in Philadelphia saying the greetings. They sitting in the room with me.
Yes, sir. And I would like to say all praise is due to Allah for having you on this show tonight.
Thank you, brother. Do you like the show?
Yes, sir. And I would also like to say that I am very sorry that I hadn't woken up beforehand when you were teaching and preaching at Central High School in Louisville, Kentucky.
Right.
When I was going to school with you.
Oh, you was going to school with me in Central?
Yes, sir.
And you're Muslim now?
Yes, sir. Waiting on my ex.
All praises due to Allah.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I'll be to Cleveland soon, brother. I want to see you.
Under the teaching of Minister Theodore X here.
Theodore, right. Well, I'll be to Cleveland soon. I want to see you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you for calling, sir. Our next caller is calling in from Philadelphia, and he's James Molly. And according to our information, he's 14 years old, and he's hearing Night Call over WHAT. Your question, young fella.
Yes, sir. Mr. Ali.
Yes, sir.
I would like to ask you what happened when you were supposed to fight Will Chamberlain?
Well, I was supposed to fight Will Chamberlain, and that was about the time the draft thing came up, and a few weeks later, didn't take that step, and that's when they took my title. But me and Chamberlain were sincerely promoting a fight, and he wanted to fight me. But all of that's over now, because they won't let me fight now. But he wanted to fight me.
Thank
you. I have a story on you here. I caught up. It's a story like it says, you can laugh at him or you can hate him, but there's no getting away from the fact that Cassius or Muhammad Ali is the best heavyweight in the world today, and he's getting bigger and better with every fight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
I'm a great reminder of yours.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Minneapolis, Minnesota will be the setting of our next call. Mr. Morset is hearing Night Call over WPBC. Your question, Mr. Morset.
Mohammed?
Yes,
I hope you don't hold it against me, but I've been a White fan of yours for an awful long time, since I was about 15.
Yes, sir.
But the question I wanted to ask is, how come the WBA and the Ring Magazine and everybody else still recognize you as the World Heavyweight Champion, and still Jimmy Ellis or Joe Frazier won't get in the ring with you? Is it because of the money, or is it because they're just afraid?
Well, the license, the government has ordered all of the boxing people to take my license.
Yeah, but don't you still have a license in Nevada or California?
Well, I don't think so. If I do, I think a few of those places have admitted that they would let me fight. But when it got out that they would, then somebody from Washington called them and put the pressure on them, and they stopped. So it's all coming from Washington, and until this draft thing is over, until I win this case or do my time in the jail, I don't think I'll fight again until I come out of jail or until I win the case. Right along through now, Washington is stopping me from fighting.
Alright. And plus, even though I'm white, is there anybody I can write a letter to on your behalf?
Yes, sir. Well, I wouldn't say. I'm not advise you to write a letter to nobody on my behalf. I appreciate you wanting to help. But we as Muslims are not forced integrators. And I would consider it forced integrating. If they don't want me in there, then I'm not going to beg them to go in. And if they welcome me in and give me a license and honor me, then I will consider coming back. But I'm not protesting. You haven't heard me yet say I want my title back. You haven't even seen me at one of these homemade title fights. You've never seen me out seeking publicity and still running in a sports crowd. I'm in a religious atmosphere now, a preaching, ministerial work is my work, and I'm not wrapped up and falling behind these sweaty, smelly boxers. So I'm not going to protest and beg to fight. They'll have to come to me, because I don't miss them, they miss me.
Yeah, that's the truth.
So if you want to write a letter, you can write it, but I'm not advising you to, and I really don't need it. They need me, I don't need them.
Thank you for calling, sir. Thank you for calling. This is Night Call in New York. Our next caller is coming in from South Orange, New Jersey, hearing Night Call over WWRL, Mr. Kenny Weisberg. Your question, Mr. Weisberg.
Muhammad Ali, how are you?
Yeah, fine. How are you?
Okay, listen, I am a 20-year-old white student, and I go to the University of Wisconsin, and I've heard you speak.
Yes, I was there.
Right, and I respect you as an American, I respect you as a fighter, and I respect you as a person.
Thank you, sir.
But I'd like to ask you one question. I heard you speak on separatism and your Elijah Muhammad's beliefs on separatism, and I don't want to grow up in a world an integrated world, and I don't want my children to, and I don't want my friends to, and I'd like to know what I can do as a student, and what my friends can do, my contemporaries can do, to help this problem, so that there isn't...
Oh, that's beautiful. You're admitting that you don't want to grow up in an integrated world, and you don't want your children to grow up in it, and you like the separation we preach?
No, I don't want to grow up... Excuse me, I don't want to grow up in a world where black and white can't mix, and black and white can't get along.
Well, when you say mix, do you mean in a way like intermarry?
Intermarriage would be a part of it, and just friendship among the races.
Well, friendship among the races is not bad, but that's the worst thing we can do is to intermarry, because every man likes a son that looks like himself. I'm sure that every black man listening to this show, and every black woman in his or her right black mind, don't want little white boys and white girls coming to marry their sons and daughters, and in return, introducing their grandchildren as little half-white, green-headed, blonde-headed white folks. And I'm sure that no white man or no white woman in his or her right white mind want little black boys and black girls coming to their schools, homes, and churches, looking to marry their sons and daughters, and in return, introducing their grandchildren as little half-brown, kinky-haired Negroes. God made us in nations, families, and tribes. And I'm sure he made no mistake in his creation. He beautified the planet Earth by putting all of us in separate places to ourselves. Chinese are not dying to lose their identity. Mexicans love their beautiful Mexican heritage. Indians love their beautiful heritage. Hawaiians love their beautiful history. Africans love their beautiful history. And the white people love their colonial cowboys and wagon trains. Everybody loves their beautiful history. And I'm a black man, and I don't want to lose myself in no white blood. And nobody intelligent want to lose their pretty self, as pretty as black people are, as pretty as their skin is, as pretty as their eyes and their hair is. I don't want to mix myself up. So we just don't necessarily just hate certain people. I think a blonde-headed, blue-eyed white woman is beautiful for a blonde-headed, blue-eyed white man. Mm-hmm. And a beautiful black sister is beautiful for a beautiful black man. An Indian woman is beautiful for an Indian man. A Japanese woman is beautiful for a Japanese man. Japanese man. So this is hypocritical. And we not dying. After getting the knowledge of my history and a knowledge of myself, the worst thing I can do is to go off and marry a white woman. And I don't think you should want it either.
Is this your belief? Or
this is the belief of all Muslims, not to be like Muhammad. This is the belief of non-Muslims who in their right mind want beautiful children who look like themselves, who want to spot themselves all up and lose their identity. I love my culture. Why do I want to get stirred up in the pot like some stew and get all mixed up? I want to stay with my own people. I love my own self. And it's too late for us to be wanting to integrate. Your people haven't been wanting to integrate until now. Why you want to integrate now? We've been here 400 years and you have lynched 5 Negroes, your people have, to get the right one that they think touched the white woman. And you might want in a marriage, but the white men who's listening to this show now, they'll hang you if they can find out who you are for wanting to integrate. Your people ain't gonna have it. Don't get on me and say, well, I don't want it. You might not get to meet a Ted, because you'll get hung on the way by your own kind.
Mr. Weisberg, thank you for calling,
there
sir.
Ain't no hope. Go marry your own woman and let me marry mine.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to outrage you.
I understand.
Thank you for calling, sir.
I'm not mad, but I just love to tell the truth because there's a lot of people out here listening to the show who need this truth, mainly the black people.
Muhammad, I want to take one more call, this time from Philadelphia. Mr. James Robinson is hearing Night Call of WHAT. Your question, Mr. Robinson.
Hello, Muhammad Ali.
Yes, sir.
Well, I would like to ask you a question. Two questions. Well, number one is this. If you were still fighting and you never heard of this religion that you are in now, would you still be fighting for the black man the way you're fighting
now? No, sir. No, sir. I never fought like this.
And number two, before you met your lovely wife, I would like to say that you have a very lovely wife.
Thank you, sir.
Before you met your wife, if you fall in love with a white woman, would you have a marriage?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I used to be crazy about white women. That's why I know Elijah Muhammad's right. All black men, they get famous. Most of them, women too, go marry white people. And as a Christian, and under the Christian teachings, I was headed the same way. And I'm thankful that I got out from under the Christian teachings and the American indoctrination of white supremacy and gotten into the Muslim mosque and come to join on to my own kind, heard the truth that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the only black man in America today that's teaching black folks to love themselves. Everything here, these Afros you see, all this black power talk you see, all of it in one way or another came from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but the people don't want to give him the credit. And I'd say you were right. If it wasn't for the religion of Islam, that's a good question. If it wasn't for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I would be just like Floyd Patterson in Sweden with white women.
Well,
Mr. Robinson, thank you for calling, sir. Muhammad Ali, we want to thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
And we want to wish you the very best.
I think that
tonight you found out that there are a number of people who are certainly with you.
And I think that many have found out that I like to tell it like it is, because I've given up $10 million now in commercials, advertisements, and endorsements, and I have no reason to pull no punches. I have no white bosses to go to tomorrow. I live complete in the black world, so I'm not afraid to tell it.
Muhammad, thank you so much for being our guest tonight
on
Night Call.
You're welcome. Call me anytime you want.
Thank you. This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station. American Sports and Black Athletes, Part 2. The Revolt of the Black Athletes with Look Magazine sports writer Dick Schaap. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church. Presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.